This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, my loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Easter, the great celebration of Christianity, is upon us. The moment which has changed the world by changing the entire perspective and theology of a handful of men and women. And Dr. Wyatt declares that for some, seeing is believing.
Thank you, Dennis. Easter Sunday, I do love this day, what it means for us, for our faith, and oh yes, what it means for the whole world. Sharon's reading is from the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. And yes, seeing is believing.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, and stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin which had been placed on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw, and he believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise from the dead.
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. It is Easter, what Christians celebrate as the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And it should be a day of displaying the evidence, the incredible reality that is our Christian faith, that He is risen, and what it means, rather than a day to be simply seen in one's finery of colored egg hunts and chocolate bunnies, all of which I do enjoy, but not at the expense of what this day should mean. This day, these events, are not add-ons to some oral remembrance concerning the life of one Jesus. This, of course, has been the consuming passion for more than a century by those who desire to reinterpret these events as a later effort by a struggling Christian movement to add significance, a sense of gravitas, to the Galilean peasant they had come to worship. They never really ask why the early church worshiped Jesus. What needs to be said is that the events surrounding the empty tomb, the appearance of the risen Christ, is the core, the cornerstone, the very foundation of Christianity. This day and what it signifies is not optional. It is not something we can take or leave. This is the primary tenet of our faith. This, my beloved, is it. Without this singular event, and I do readily admit this is a unique, special, even miraculous event, but this is Christianity. For without the resurrection, we are still in our sins, without hope in this world and the next, and of all people, most to be pitied. It is then that Paul will break this rhythmic cadence of his words about what would be lost what it will cost if Christ is not raised, almost shouting, but in fact he is risen from the dead, and will then list those who even 30 to 40 years later are alive and can witness to the reality of this resurrection. We can, along with those who openly doubt all of this, fail to appreciate that without the resurrection, Christianity, the way, is still born. It never gets started. It would be but an obscure footnote in another dusty academic work on Judaism, just a note on one more Jewish peasant crucified as a rebel, or another messianic pretender disposed of by the long arm of Roman dominance. Adding another name to the list, Theudas, Judas the Galilean, Simon Bar Kokhba, and perhaps of less significance, for these I mentioned had at least thousands of armed followers willing to try to put their hero on the Jewish throne. Our narrative this day begins on the first day of the week as Mary Magdalene comes to the tomb early while it is still dark or pre-dawn. Note John's careful wording, leaving no doubt as to the time. John's interest is in Mary Magdalene because he will then focus on this first appearance of the risen Lord. To her, outside the tomb, weeping, overcome by it all, not just because of his passing and its tragic effect, but the body is missing. She and the other women cannot do what Jewish tradition demands, what honor and love requires. John's narrative will consistently delve into the details, little personal events the other gospel writers are either unaware of or skip for the sake of space. And here we are told that in her state of bereavement, Mary Magdalene has come very early, before the other women, Joanne, Shalom, Mary, the mother of James, and perhaps others. They will come when there is a little more light. But she has found that the stone has been taken away, not just rolled away, but rolled back and down. For it is Matthew who tells us that an angel will be seen sitting on it. And it is he who will condense much of these events. But for John, this is all very personal. For we are told after she sees the stone put aside, she runs back to tell the obvious leader, Peter, and the other disciple, we now know as John, that the body is not in the tomb, and it is not known where he is. The two men rise immediately to see what is going on, running. Tradition has always said that Peter was a big man and John much younger. So naturally, it is John who reaches the tomb first, but he only stoops to look in. But Peter goes right in. The linen cloths are lying on the niche, carved out of the stone in this newly hewn stone tomb. The single cloth that covered Jesus' face is rolled up by itself. John now steps in, and what he sees causes him to believe. Despite not knowing the scriptures that he, the Christ, the Son of Man, the suffering servant, the Son of David, must rise from the dead, but that they ran signifies something more than curiosity, more than concern that a body might be stolen. Could it be? Is it possible? After all, there were all those comments, statements about his death, and that he will rise again. It seems so unmessianic. But he had rebuked Peter for saying that all of this, these prophecies, could not be. But now? John here states that the other disciples saw and believed. What did he see? Linen cloths lying. But what does that mean? He knows that Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. And with Nicodemus, they did what they could on the day of preparation, or Friday, binding the body with linen cloths, layered with nearly 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes. And as the two mixed together became quite sticky, what is obvious is that the body has not been moved or stolen. One would not go through the difficulties of removing a body from its wrapping, especially when stuck together like that. You would take everything, But the linen cloth remains, that which had enclosed the body of Jesus. But now they lie there empty, surely collapsed, but eerily shadowing what they once held. This John saw and believed. It would startle anyone, and surely Peter's mind is working in the same way. Mary, of course, returns, following Peter and John, whom she has just told of the empty tomb. But clearly she does not run. Women then rarely ran, and she certainly would not have run as quickly as the men. She is crying, and while weeping, she sees two men in white, whom she obviously relates later as angels, who ask, "Woman, why are you weeping?" "Because they," Mary says, "have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." These angelic visitors will speak as well to the other women. But here Mary turns around to see a man standing, not knowing who he is. And now we are to share a most intimate moment, the Lord's first resurrection appearance, to a distraught, overwhelmed woman who confuses her Lord with the gardener. Perhaps it is the darkness, her tears distorting her eyesight, and surely she is not expecting Jesus to be alive. But when he speaks her name, as he had spoken it often before, Mary, she knows, but the relationship is not the same. He is no longer Rabboni or teacher, someone to sit and listen to. Watch as he moves among the crowd, healing the infirmed, the lepers, those blind and deaf, fending off the antagonists, and always the good shepherd tending to the people's needs. She will tell the disciples what she has seen and what was said. More appearances will follow to the other women, to two on the road to Emmaus, and Peter this very day, and that evening to the 10 disciples, the next week to the 11, to some disciples by the sea, all the disciples in Galilee, then upwards to 500, then to James and to those who witness his ascension. Perhaps there were others. It is of interest for us to recognize that of these appearances, when Paul recounts them to the Corinthian church as evidence of the bodily resurrection, he tactfully omits the first appearances to the women. Why? Simply that at that time and place, the witness of women to such an unusual and incredible event would not add credence or credibility. However, for us, it adds that touch of truth to this entire day's event. If this is an invention, a story developed, built up to add a sense of importance to your object of worship, if this is an effort to make your religion of more importance, the first thing to go is the first appearances being to women. You don't begin your fiction with Jesus appearing to a distraught Mary Magdalene and a few frightened women. But you do so if this is the truth. And this, we believe, is exactly what happened. As believers, we should not require further evidence, but it can be enjoyable, confounding the efforts of the secularists, the atheists, and the just plain doubters, as they try to discount or disprove the resurrection. The empty tomb is the most provable such event in antiquity, and it becomes unbelievable that the body was stolen or moved. There is but one rational explanation. What Christianity has celebrated on this day for nearly 2,000 years, and that which is the foundation of our faith. Those who often from our own pulpits fail to announce this Christian truth with ringing words of affirmation, for you can hear them covering their disbelief with humorous stories, announcements of philosophical tenets, and high-sounding phrases, but no words of affirmation. In Paul's words, "How can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ has not been raised. Then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testify of God that he raised Christ. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. Paul will break his rhetoric with those words, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." This is and must be the ringing announcement of our faith. Jesus was raised from the dead. There is nothing like this affirmation, this proclamation, for it is the gospel message. Because he is risen, we who believe are no longer enslaved to sin, but redeemed, justified, saved. Because he is risen, our preaching is not empty words, cute phrases, and humorous anecdotes, but words that alter life, bring meaning, hope, and love to a world in disarray, fragmented, and without direction. Because he is risen, we have hope for more than this life, but for eternity. Because he is risen, our faith is anything but futile. We may hide some candies and colored eggs for the children, but as they are able to understand, at least in part, share what this day is truly about, and certainly share with all who will listen. It is the most important story in all of human history and needs to be shared. That is why these times of displaying the evidence, the incredible reality that is our Christian faith, as in the case of John, he saw and believed. There is always more. Blessed are those who have not seen but believe, as we will learn next week. But we are blessed recipients of those who did see, believed, and proclaimed this gospel, that we too might believe. Lord, let us always cherish what is our faith and what it means, for it is what this day, Easter, signifies, that our faith is true, real, that it abounds in hope, joy, and a life that will be realized in a kingdom that will one day come on earth as it is in heaven, all because of what occurred on Calvary and that Jesus Christ came forth from that tomb. Praise God. Amen and amen.
Well, we here at the Wings of Healing are so pleased that you have joined us this Easter morning as the new day has dawned. This singular event, the resurrection of our Lord, signified the beginning of a new age, and its truth resonates still. He is risen indeed. This is a victory of cosmic proportions, and you will want a copy of Dr. Wyatt's book that lays out the truth, wonder, and impact of this event. It is titled Evidence of the Resurrection. So just write to us and ask for your copy of this valuable resource, Evidence of the Resurrection. It can be yours at no charge. Well, bless you, dear listeners. We want to express our appreciation for your prayers and your gracious continuing support. Those of you who have not yet felt a desire to support this ministry, we pray that you will consider being included in our Wings of Healing family. There are our overseas missions that need your help, the radio ministry, and our many publications. So we ask you to join us and become an important part of God's work. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org.
Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Like I said, I love this day for all it means, and I tried to relate that in what I have just shared. Just how central This entire event is to our Christian faith. Too many, and I mean too many, who call themselves Christian, even standing behind pulpits, who do not believe that Jesus Christ rose bodily from that tomb. I have always found that more than insincere, that you claim to be a believer, yet don't believe. And strange that you want to appear to be what you actually reject, who refuse to believe this grand, earth-shattering event until we spent a weekend debating this, which upon asking them what happened, he had no answer, to which one then had to ask, do you believe what the eyewitnesses said what happened? That did it. We prayed he would experience that warm realization that this is all real, and he has been a staunch believer ever since. Do write. We would love to hear from you all. And Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But now we close with Kathleen's own marvelous hymn, Morning Light. And until next week, do believe, for his resurrection is the answer to everything.
Morning light, breath of dawn, whispered prayer, angel song, scattered dreams, fading night, drifting.
On this Easter morning, we want to express our praise and thanksgiving for what God has wrought in this vindication of His Son, Jesus. It is a special time for all those of our faith, and we never want this time to become overwhelmed by the secular distraction and sweet treats. This may be fine for the young, but such a very special time for Christians needs to be manifested in all we do. We do ask you to write so that we can continue to broadcast on this station. And as always, CDs of these programs are available. And this Easter season, Dr. Wyatt is offering a copy of his book, Evidence for the Resurrection. Now, here is provided wonderful insight into all the evidence in our New Testament and elsewhere to this remarkable event that sets Christianity apart from all other religion. So please write and ask for your copy of Evidence for the Resurrection. It is yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.